kids, they can say some funny things, especially when they're real young. I remember one of the parents told me and something that the kids were saying to them, and they said, referring to me up here, and said, "Well, that's what God said." Just because I get to be up here, that's what God said. Well, let's just go on a journey again this morning. Last week we talked about the blessing of Abraham, and I want to talk a little bit more about that again today. Just review just a little bit, because there's a lot of things about the blessing of Abraham that we want to grab a hold of, because the Bible calls Abraham the father of faith, and we are connected to him through the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is a faith connection all the way through the Bible with believers and Father Abraham. So we want to look at a few things again about Abraham this morning and about what it means to walk in the blessing of Abraham. Because if we read in the Bible about the blessing of Abraham, it's awesome. It's awesome what God has done for us. It's awesome the blessing that he wants to bring into our lives. And I don't think any of us have experienced the fullness of the blessing of Abraham. And if we don't know about it, we're not going to be exercising our faith to be able to receive some of the blessings of Abraham. There is a blessing of Abraham that is to be received here on earth, and there's a blessing of Abraham that speaks more of eternity and our spiritual lives as well. So let's look at, again, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11, says, "But without faith," everybody say, "without faith." "Without faith, it is impossible to please God." So we cannot please God without faith. Now, obviously, Abraham pleased God, so he walked in faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And those who come to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder. Everybody say rewarder. Of those who diligently seek him. Wouldn't it be terrible to have a faith in God, knowing that he exists, but yet don't think that he's ever looks at what we do, that he doesn't even consider anything that we ever do, that he's really not a rewarder, he's always a taker. That's some people serve that kind of God, but that's not the kind of father we have. The kind of father we have is a giver. He wants to give. And the fact that without faith it's impossible to please God, we know that Abraham was one who walked in faith because he pleased God. So let's look at just real quickly now at the connection that we have as believers in Christ that we have with Father Abraham. Romans 4:16. "Therefore it," that is the promise, "is of faith that it might be according to grace." In other words, things come to us by the grace of God as a free gift, "so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law," speaking of the Hebrew nation of the Jews, "but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all." So this word here that the Apostle Paul wrote to the in the book of Romans, in the letter to the Romans, he said, not only is the promise to those who are of the nation of Israel, but all who are of the faith of Abraham. For he's the father of us all. So let's look in Galatians now. Galatians chapter 3, verse 6, it tells us about who are the sons of Abraham. "Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are of the sons of Abraham," or of the children of Abraham. So we are of faith. We have the faith of God residing on the inside of us. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We've called on him as our Savior. We have noticed that we need a Savior, and we see Jesus as the Savior that we need. That's where we trust. That's what we trust in. That's where our faith is. And so we are sons of Abraham. Verse 9 of Galatians 3, it says, "So then, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham." Those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. So say, I'm blessed. We are blessed of God. We're blessed with Abraham. In other words, we are justified in the same manner as Abraham was. Abraham was justified by faith, and so we are justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So just as Abraham was justified by faith, we are, and we have the same privileges on earth as Abraham did. Because Abraham is our father of faith. And God, he was a friend of God. Galatians 3:29. And if you are Christ, if you are Christ, Christ means that the word Christ actually means anointed one. And it means anointing. It means, the word Christ also means, it refers to the Messiah. And the reason why it refers to the Messiah. To the Messiah is because Jesus, the Messiah, is the anointed one. And God, when after Jesus came into the earth and he died and rose again and so forth, that there were, as a result of that, Jesus was the first fruits, and after that came many anointed ones. So if you are a born-again believer today, then you are an anointed one. You are a Christ child. You are one of the anointed ones. And if you are Christ, if you are anointed, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Glory to God. We are heirs with Abraham. We are heirs with Christ according to the promise. And lastly, James 2:23 says, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. I love that term. He was called a friend of God. There is a friend that sticks closer than a brother, the scripture says, and that friend is Jesus. Isn't it awesome to have a friend like Jesus? He's so awesome. He's so wonderful. He sticks closer to us than a brother. A family member might betray us. A family member might go away. But there is a friend. There's one who will stick closer than a family member. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God forever. We can never say that we're alone because we always have a friend in Jesus. Glory to God. I believe there used to be a song, I have a friend in Jesus. Maybe we need to sing that a lot more, and it'll help us identify our friendship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are connected with believing Abraham. We are connected by faith with Abraham. So we want to look again at the blessings of Abraham. What's it mean to be blessed of Abraham? What's it mean to receive? Or what does the blessing of Abraham look like for us here while we live upon this earth? So we want to take a little closer look at that this morning. And there's a number of things that is mentioned in the blessing of Abraham. And in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, we read about the blessing of Abraham. Let's just read real quickly. Just verse 1. And the first blessing of Abraham comes in Genesis 12, 1. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. God, he said, I'm going to take you out of this land. I want you to come out of the land that you're in to a land that I will show you. In other words, Abraham wasn't in the land that God wanted him to be in. Why did God want to take him out of there? Well, if we were to do a study on Abraham, we would find out that he and his family, they were moon worshipers. They were idol worshipers, and God wanted to call himself a group out of that idol worshiping people and bring about a people that would worship him and him only. And so he spoke to Abraham, and he called him out of there. Now, I believe that today, in the same way that God is calling, the same way that God called Abraham out of that land that he was in, that land of idol worshipers, he's also calling people today out of a land of idol worshipers. I believe that the world that we're living in today, for the most part, are worshiping something other than the one true God. That for the world for the most part, has their security in something that is other than God. And they are looking for maybe the things that they build up around them. They're holding their security in their job. They're holding their security in the things, that the houses that they live in and so forth. And they feel very secure with all these things around them. And they're not really looking to the one through God to hold them in a place of safety. And whether we like it or not, that is when we look for at anything except
our Creator, when we looked at to anyone except our Creator, as the one who holds us in his hands, if we look to any other source than our Father God, we are actually just as much an idol worshiper as the family of Abraham was before God called him out of Ur of Chaldees. He called him out of there. You see, we live in a world of idol worshipers. And you might say, well, Pastor, what do you mean? I don't see everybody on PEI. They don't have statues in their homes where they bow down to and all this kind of thing. Well, you don't have to have a statue to bow down to something. You don't have to have a statue in your home that you go down to bow down to and to make you look like an idol worshiper. Whatever you spend the most of your time at, whatever you spend your time at, is connected with what you value the most. And I know we have to spend a lot of time at our work and the things that we need to have come into our hands to be able to survive on earth and to meet our needs and so forth. And that's all good, but there's more time that we have than that. And whatever we spend the majority of that time at is really what we value the most. And so a lot of people spend more time at getting more things around them and having more money than anything else. And anyone who spends too much time, an unbalanced time, in gaining finances for themselves is serving a god of mammon, the Bible calls it, god of money. And so that's an idol worshiper. And you might think that I'm being kind of, well, I'm trying to be black and white here, because I believe that we need to be that way today. Because there's a lot of grayness that people are looking at today. And if we are going to follow God with all honesty, we have to be able to see clearly what's happening around us. Because we can get sucked in to the maze of what is happening in everyday life and think, and we'll actually begin calling evil good and good evil, like many do today. And so it's important for us to have a clear definition of what it means to serve God and what it means to be an idol worshiper. And oh, by the way, coming to church doesn't mean that we're not idol worshipers. Coming to church does not guarantee that we are in the kingdom of God. You can come to church and you can even be a member of a church and still die and go to hell. The coming to church doesn't mean that you're a born-again believer. No, the only place of security that we have is that we have actually called on the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, and we're believing Jesus that his blood cleanses us from all sin. Only then we know that we are actually serving the one and true God. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Not through any other form whatsoever. There are churches today that are filled, and unfortunately, many of them are not believers at all in the Lord Jesus Christ, but they do their duty. How can I say that? Well, if you were to do a study and find out what is the most populous nation, or what nation has the most Christians in it in the world today, you would find that statistics say that the United States is, with 254 million Christians. That's what they would say. Now, when you look at a nation of United States, for instance, with a population of around 310 million, and you think that if 254 million people were actually born again, true believers in Christ, there'd be things different happening in the United States. There'd be different laws, there'd be all kinds of different things taking place if they were actually following God, following the Lord Jesus Christ. So just calling yourself a Christian or being put down as a Christian because that's your heritage does not mean that you're on your way to heaven. I want to be clear in that because there seems to be a misconception today. And most funerals that you go to today, it doesn't matter what the person lived like, doesn't matter what they died like. A lot of the times you will hear those speaking at the front talking about how wonderful they are and that we'll meet them up there one day. And unfortunately, that's not the way it is. You see, there's one way, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that should make us excited to be in a place of security in the Lord Jesus. Either he's the only way, or he was the biggest fraud that ever walked the planet. And I'm so glad he's the way, the truth, and the life. Praise God. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So Abraham was called out of the land of the Chaldeans, and he was brought into a land. He said, I'm taking you to a land that I will show you. When God shows you a land and brings you into a land, I'll tell you, it's a lot better than what you can work out for yourself. It's a lot better. It looks a whole lot better than what you can do for yourself. Now, in Jesus' day, we could see that in that day, there was a lot of people that, again, who were very religious, but Jesus spoke some harsh words to them. The most religious people that were there, he said, you are of your father, the devil. In other words, he's saying, you're religious, you know the word, you know the writings of Moses, you follow Moses and so forth, but actually you're of your father, the devil. And that should show us that religion alone will never save you, because they were religious. They were extremely religious Pharisees and Sadducees of that day. And Jesus hit them right between the eyes with that and showed them very clearly that there was one way. He said, you have to be born again. You have to come out of that spiritual dry land that you're in and come over into the kingdom of God. I want to bring you to a place, a new land, a new place that I have for you. And it's called the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Totally different from this world system. And you and I have this opportunity to participate in the world system. So God takes us out of this land and brings us into a place where we can believe him, where we can grow in Christ. Actually, that's what he wanted to do. He wanted to take Abraham out of that land and bring him into a place where he could be able to hear God in a much clearer fashion. He wanted to get him away from that idol worship and his idol worshiping family, because he knew the family would try to pull him back in. And he loved, no doubt, loved his family. So God knew that he would be enticed to follow their ways. So that's the first blessing. Blessing number two of Abraham was, I'll make thee a great nation. And again, as believers, we're brought into the church. The church is the nation that God is using today to demonstrate the kingdom of God to the world. So he has brought us into a nation. Blessing number three, I will bless you. In other words, God is saying to Abraham, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you in this life. And we'll read about the blessing of Abraham in this life in a few minutes, but this verse reminds me of Philippians 4:19, where it says, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You see, in the land that God takes us to, he says, I'm going to be your provider. In the land that God takes us into, he says, I will meet your needs, and your needs will be met according to my riches in glory, not according to what the world has to offer. I'm going to meet your needs according to what heaven has to offer, according to my riches in glory. Wow, he is blessed. Abraham was tremendously blessed. Blessing number three, I will bless you. Let's move over to blessing number four, and I will make thy name great. That's another blessing. Abraham, I'm going to make you famous, really what he was saying. Abraham, I'm going to make you somebody in this world. Doesn't that entice us? A lot of times we all grow up and we want our lives to count for something. And sometimes we say, we want to be somebody. I like to be somebody in this world. I like to be known for something. And sometimes we build ourselves up in a way that we'll try to make ourselves look good. And sometimes that can fall flat when some people have become very, very, very successful. They become very famous. But sometimes we try to make ourselves look good, and really it falls flat at times. When man tries to make himself look good, it can only end in embarrassment. But God told Abraham, he says, I'm going to give you a name. I'm going to make you famous. I'm going to make you somebody. Part of walking humbly before God is saying, God, do whatever you want with me. Make me whatever you want me to be. Let me be whatever you designed me to be. And I believe that our name, the great name that God gives us, revolves around being exactly whom God told you to be. And if we have been planted on this earth and we have been given much, the Bible says we are to give. But if we have been given a purpose, a destiny where the whole world would know, like let's say Billy Graham, that's one thing. And Billy Graham fulfilled his ministry. That's one thing. But if you've been called also to be a mother and a housewife, and God has anointed you for that, and you fulfill your plan, you will be just as famous in heaven as Billy Graham. If you will fulfill your call, it's not about having accolades from men. It's about fulfilling God's destiny. And God told Abraham, he said, I'm going to make your name great. And one of the ways that we have a great name is that we have been given the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, all authority is in that name. And he said, in my name you will cast out demons. You will do other things in my name. Signs and wonders will follow in my name. So having the name of Jesus in itself gives us a great name. It makes us famous in heaven when we call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessing Abraham number 5. You shall be a blessing. God wants you to be a blessing. He wants you to be a blessing to all people as well. Blessing number 6. And I will bless them that bless you. He also, I'll bless them that bless you, and I'll curse those who curse you. So he's saying that those who treat you good, I will bless. Those who treat you good, I'm going to bring favor into their lives. So even when people look upon you and they bless a righteous cause, they give into a righteous cause, they have a right to be blessed. Because one of the blessings of Abraham is, I will bless those who bless you. All kinds of ways to walk in the blessing of Abraham. The 7th blessing of Abraham is this: and in thee all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Wow. Wonder what went through Abraham's mind when God told him that. In you, Abraham, all the families of earth are going to be blessed. All the families on earth. When you think of that statement, I don't know of any other situation where all the families of the earth could be blessed other than through the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus came through the line of Abraham. And God told Abraham, Abraham, through you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now that you and I have come into the family of God, we realize that we are here now to be a blessing to those who are around us. If we receive the blessing of Abraham, you and I are here to also be a blessing. Now let's just look real quickly at what the blessing of Abraham looked like while he was here on earth. Genesis 24:1, Abraham was now an old man. God had blessed Abraham in every way. In other words, there was no way that God hadn't blessed Abraham. And Abraham's servant, when he was going looking for a bride for Abraham's son Isaac, he spoke this to the family of the bride that was to come into Abraham's family. And he was telling the family about this great master, Abraham, that he was serving. And he says, the Lord has blessed my master greatly, and he has become great, and he has given him flocks and herds and silver and gold, male and female servants and camels and donkeys. He said, he's blessed my master tremendously in all the things of this world. He has poured out his blessing upon him. That is part of the blessing of Abraham. And I'm sure that servant was proud to be able to go and talk about his master and all the things that he had, and inviting this young lady to come into the family of Abraham. And it appears that God shows through Abraham what the blessing of Abraham looks like while we're here on earth. It seems like he wants the world to see what the blessing of Abraham would look like if we were fully walking in the blessing of Abraham. He shows us what his desire is for us. And then through the Lord Jesus Christ, he came through Abraham's line, through the Lord Jesus Christ, he also demonstrates to us what our blessing is, what our eternal blessing is. And he opens the door for us to walk into our eternal blessing. So he wants us blessed while we're here on earth, but also blessed throughout the eternity in heaven. And of course, eternal blessing is so much more valuable. We realize that. Eternal blessing is so much more valuable. So in Galatians 3:9, so people who believe are blessed together with Abraham, the man of faith. We're blessed together with Abraham, with man of faith. Now, just as we prepare ourselves to come to the communion table this morning, I want us to look at just four principles of blessing. Four principles of walking in the blessing of Abraham. This is key for us to realize that we have a Father who wants to pour out blessing on us because He's already demonstrated how He wants to bless us through the blessing of Abraham. So, four principles to receiving the blessing of Abraham. Principle number one, our blessing should flow to others. One of the principles of being able to receive the blessing of God is that we are a conduit to be a blessing to other people around us. In other words, when blessing comes to us, it must not stop with us. We must be able to take that blessing and to be able to put it out to others and to bless others. We must be a conduit to bless others. In Philippians 4:15, the Apostle Paul writes to the church of Philippi, and he says this, "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me according to giving and receiving, concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God." So Paul is saying, Philippians, you gave into my ministry, and because of that, you are a candidate for the blessing of Abraham. You are a candidate to be able to receive because you are the guys who are able to be a flow-through. Blessing was coming into your life and you continued to give it out to others. You continued to bless others. So the church of Philippi was a church that was allowing blessing to flow through them. This is the only church that the Apostle Paul actually wrote those words to. The second principle is that when we bless others, God takes care of our needs. When we live by this principle of allowing the blessing of Abraham to flow into us and flow out of us, we also live by the principle, as we bless others, God meets our needs. In Philippians 4:19, God who shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So we are a flow through of the blessing of Abraham. And also, as we bless others, we know that God takes care of our needs. Now that's important because Paul said, you're the only church, you Philippians were the only church who joined me concerning the ministry of giving and receiving. Not just giving, but receiving. See, our faith has to be applied when we give, but it also has to be applied when we receive as well. Because when we open our hands to give, we are also opening our hands for God to be able to give back to us. Because if you and I lived a life that all we ever did was give and never received back, we would never have the things that we need in order to be able to give. So there's twofold there. Not that we give out all the time, we also receive as well. Paul said, you participated in the ministry of giving and receiving. Number three, principle of receiving the blessing of Abraham. Our blessings to others will come back to us. Remember Jesus' words? He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And also in 2 Corinthians 9:6, the Apostle Paul wrote to the church of Corinth, he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So as we sow seed bountifully, we can expect a bountiful harvest. The fourth principle when it comes to receiving the blessing of Abraham, the more we're blessed by God, the more He expects us to help others. The more we're blessed by God, the more He expects us to help others. In other words, God knows the best place that we could possibly be when He thinks of us individuals as human beings who are made up of spirit, soul, and body, the best place that we can possibly be is to looking and caring for one another. If we are willing to bless others, if we are willing to help others achieve what God has destined them for, is the best place that we could possibly be. Getting involved in advancing the kingdom. So as we prepare to come this morning to the communion table, to the covenant meal, I want us to think a little bit about the blessing of Abraham and his character in life. I want to read to you about a situation that Abraham ran into in Genesis chapter 14. And Abraham, as you remember, when he was called out of his homeland, called out of Ur, and brought into the land that God wanted him to come, God told him to get away from your family. Don't take your family with him. But then the Bible says that Abraham, that Lot went with him. Lot was Abraham's nephew, and Lot went with him. And so it seemed like at least that there was a bit of disobedience when it came to getting away from your family. Now, it's probably unfortunate that if Abraham disobeyed at that particular point and brought Lot with him, but it also speaks to me about God's not looking for perfection. He's not looking for perfection from you. He's got a lot of grace for us. He is not looking for perfection. It seems like there were some things that got really Abraham into some trouble and difficulty because he brought Lot with him, but it didn't mean that the promises to Abraham were finished. You don't have to walk in perfection in order to receive the blessing of God. God's grace goes a long way. But when God called Abraham out, he said, come out and get away from your family. Lot went with him. And if you read through the book of Genesis there, you'll find that when God spoke to Abraham about that, it was silence. He was silenced then until Lot left Abraham. Then God started speaking to him again. So that was kind of interesting to me. Because when Abraham finally came out, and Abraham's servants and Lot's servants, they were both grew and they were both blessed, and their servants started fighting one another. And Abraham told Lot, he said, go and look at the valley and pick out whatever you want, and you go one way and I'll go the other way. And when Lot left, that's when God spoke again. So in our lives, if we've missed it sometimes, if we walked in the way of disobedience, all we have to do is, once it's made known to us, repent. God's right there. He never left. All we have to do is say, God, forgive me. I missed it. I missed it, Lord. Help me pick up where I left off. And this is what happened with Abraham. God started speaking to him again and started telling him about what he would do and cut covenant with him and so forth. And in one of the things that Abraham got into because of Lot's presence was that there was war, and Lot had got captured, and Abraham went out after to rescue Lot. And the Bible says that Abraham went and he defeated the enemy, and he came back and he met this awesome individual called Melchizedek. And when Abraham came back, he met this individual that was known as the priest of the Most High God. And many theologians believe that this was actually the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's pick it up in Genesis chapter 14, 18. Then King Melchizedek of Salem brought out bread and wine. He was a priest of God Most High. He blessed Abram and said, blessed is Abram by God Most High, maker of heaven and earth. Blessed is God Most High, who has handed your enemies over to you. So Melchizedek was saying to Abraham, blessed be God Most High, who handed your enemies over to you. He's making very clear that it wasn't because of Abraham's great military strategy that he won the battle. He's saying it was because of God Most High who handed your enemies over to you. Then Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. So Abraham, in coming back with all the loot and everything that came, that he got in defeating the enemy, he met this man who brought out this this God-man, it would appear, who brought out bread and wine, and Abraham's part was to give him a tenth of what he had. Now, I want you to notice, as we come to the communion table this morning, the connection between the communion table and the covenant meal and our giving. There's a connection made there. Abraham's attitude toward meeting this awesome individual, this priest of God Most High, was to give. And the Bible says that Melchizedek blessed Abraham, and the lesser was blessed by the greater. Melchizedek didn't need Abraham's offering, didn't need it at all. But Abraham needed to give it, because that was his part in this covenant exchange. So if we come to the covenant meal this morning, I want us to notice how, because we always bring our tithes and our offerings when we come to the covenant meal as well, so I want us to notice the connection between the two in receiving the blessing of Abraham and walking in the attitude of Abraham. There is that connection. In this world that we live in, we have the opportunity to be able to be a flow-through of the blessing of God to those around us, to those who are in need. And I believe that this week, even as we ask God, Lord, how can we be a flow-through? How can we bless someone around us this week? How can we practice being a blessing to others because of the blessing that you poured out upon us? You see, there's always a connection made in everything that we put our hand to with the things of heaven. And most of us spend a lot of time getting finances into our hands. And if that isn't connected to heaven, then we are not being the flow through that we need to be. As we prepare for our communion table, let's stand together and just ask the Lord in our own hearts, what are the things, God, that you want to touch? What are the things that you want to say to me this morning at this particular time? As I speak to you, I endeavor to bring the reality of the gospel into our reality, into everyday life. Because it's no good just thinking that this book, this Bible, is just something that is a bunch of good writings and good teaching. It's no good looking at the Lord Jesus Christ and just saying that he was an awesome teacher. He demonstrated love in an awesome way. He was an awesome prophet even. He was an awesome prophet of God. It will do us no good to look at him merely as a prophet of God if we don't see him for who he is, God manifested in the flesh. If he's not God manifested in the flesh in your life, he's not God to you at all. So I don't care what you're involved in. I don't care what you're doing. I don't care what pressure you have in life. There's this position that we can have in realizing that it is our privilege to be able to demonstrate Jesus here on earth to the lost world around us. There's a lot of people right now in North America, especially in the South, who are going through some things, some thoughts that they haven't had in a long time because of the destruction that's around them. There's some that are absolutely caught in fear, unbelievable fear, because they haven't settled things with God. Don't wait till a disaster happens to look at your place in God. Don't wait till a disaster happens to question whether you're all right with God or not. Make that decision right now. I don't know where you're at today. I don't know if you're walking with Jesus. I don't know if you feel secure in Jesus. But I want us to pray this prayer together before we come to the covenant meal this morning. I want us to pray together that we'll know that we know that we've confessed Jesus as Lord. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name, and I realize I need a Savior. I realize that Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the Savior that I need. I receive him now. Jesus, wash my sin away. I want to be a child of God. Help me, God, to walk in your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you're a born-again believer this morning, I invite you to come and receive the emblems as you go back to your seat, and then we'll take them together after we receive them. So let's worship him as we come to the covenant meal, come to the covenant table with our giving, and receive the emblems.